Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. March 1st, we made it, huh? 2 months into the record books of 2021. The last 12 months, though, have felt like 10 years, haven't they? John Couch, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to Buckmaster as we now push forward into our 11th year on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We're on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts are up usually a couple of hours after the conclusion of the program. Then we've got them all archived, probably now more than 10 years worth of shows at buckmastershow.com. The live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, our Monday political face-off presented by our title sponsor, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They've been around, family-owned and run since 1985, and they are better than ever right now. Art for your walls, custom frame mirrors, and of course, where they excel, they're kind of their iconic part of the business is the picture framing. They are now doing e-commerce as well. The newly redesigned website is at moesgallery.com. Their location next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell, and Dodge. Let's welcome now our team of commentators. Seated to my left, Jeff Rogers, Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm well.
John Munger, seated to my right, Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for Arizona governor. And there was one other thing, John, I wanted to put in there, former chair of the Republican Party in the state of Arizona.
Right.
So I've added that to your very impressive resume.
How are you, Bill?
Doing real fine. Guys, we had Laura Conover, who Jeff and John, as you know, now heads up the Pima County Attorney's Office. They had a bout of COVID in January that pretty much shut the office down. But beyond that, Jeff, and you know this very intimately, there's no court action going on right now for over a year, and now it's at least 30 more days.
We're doing certain things. Like, for instance, I had what's called a Rule 11 hearing today telephonically, and that's a hearing on whether or not a person is competent to stand trial or enter into a plea agreement. We're doing some pleas, some sentencings. A lot of these things are getting done by video teleconference in federal court. In state court, they're getting done by either telephonically or in some, there are a few limited courtrooms on the seventh floor that have the ability to do video teleconferencing. But what we're not doing is we're not doing trials. And there hadn't been a trial since mid-March of last year when this thing hit. And, you know, and we have a high trial rate. It probably won't be as high under this county attorney. But historically, we've had one of the highest trial rates of any county in the entire United States under both LaWall and her predecessor's regime. And so, you know, and some cases have to go to trial because people refuse to take a plea. Or in some rare cases, there's no plea offer made because the person is, you know, of such a character and with such a history and perhaps a current violent crime that they want to take a hard line and put them away for as long as possible. So, you know, those cases need to go to trial, and people have constitutional rights to a speedy trial, which are then turned into rules that have been waived by the Arizona Supreme Court and have been waived by the federal district court Chief Judge Snow. So, you know, there's a lot of people sitting kind of warehoused in prisons and other places and jails, county jails, that are not getting their speedy trial rights to be recognized. And
that's a problem.
That's a problem.
You would think, John, that when these people then come up for a trial eventually and their rights have been waived or whatever, you would think they might have a way to kind of get out of what they've ever done.
Well, I'm not a criminal
I know
lawyer
you're not,
at all, but I will tell you, I'll bet you that my friend Jeff here, when he gets his defendants up who've been in jail and whose rights to speedy trial haven't been honored, I will bet Jeff is filing motions to dismiss for lack of speedy trial.
Well, and what is more common, though, is
to which these people are entitled,
is for us to file motions to get people out. And the judges are letting people out on bonds, lower bonds than usual, and more people are getting out on pretrial services supervision. And that's an arm of the court that supervises people who are out awaiting trial. And so that's one remedy that we have seen quite a bit of. But there are some people who, you know, for varying reasons, criminal history or the nature of the current crime, have a very high bond, and it's kept at a high bond. And those are the people that are still sitting there with an inability to either get out or to get towards a trial.
What about the non-criminal area, John, which you work in?
Well, we don't try the quantity of cases that Jeff tries. About 85% of the civil law cases.
Civil law.
That I work in, about 85% of those cases settle. And so the trial work is nowhere near the quantity. It's what we call, most of what we do is what we call motion practice, which is filing various pretrial motions, discovery, depositions, preparing for trial, getting information out, and then hopefully settling the case on a positive basis once everybody knows what the facts are. People are afraid to settle until they know what all the facts are. But once they figure out what the testimony is going to be at trial, 85% of the cases settle. As for the other 15%, we haven't been in a position where we've been denied a trial. Trials in our cases are generally off 1.5, 2 years. We just haven't been in a position to know what the courts are going to do, although I doubt that they will be trying them the same way, for the same reasons that Jeff is saying.
Yeah.
But that's not extraordinary in the civil, because civil cases go on so much longer than criminal cases. Putting it off a couple of months is de rigueur. It's just, that's the way it is.
I didn't know that 85% of civil stuff does not go to trial?
In terms of the trial cases. Of course, a lot of the work we do are transactional matters and other things. It's a totally different type of law practice than the criminal practice.
The other significant problem is getting jurors, because even if the court isn't concerned, or you know, it somehow eases its concern about, you know, the litigants and the court personnel and the lawyers, you know, you've now got to call jurors, and right now, you know, you probably have to call 300 jurors to seat 14 of them. And you need, for a 12-person jury, you need at least 14 jurors, because you're going to have a couple alternates. So, you know, and then what happens if, you know, midway through a trial, suddenly, you know, a juror comes down with COVID.
Yeah, exactly.
And then everybody else is like, well, now I've been exposed. I'm not coming to court. Forget that.
Exactly.
And you're in the midst of a trial.
You know, and somebody gets a summons for jury duty, they're going to say, well, I'm afraid to go down there.
Well, they aren't going to have very many people getting a summons for jury duty under this new rule, so you don't have to worry about it too much, because they're not going to summon people for jury duty.
All right, guys, let's take a break right here so we can delve right into former President Donald Trump re-entering political life with an address to the political Conservative Political Action Committee, known as CPAC, and we will talk about that after we take our break. But right now, I want to talk a little bit about Mona's Danish Bakery. I've been on that cinnamon roll thing, Jeff. Have you tried one of them?
I haven't had the cinnamon roll yet.
Oh, boy.
I'll have to put that on my list.
Yeah, I was into the English not the English muffins, but just the blueberry muffins. Then he had a chocolate chip muffin, and they're just doing the home of comfort food. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. They open at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast. They've got really, Jeff, as we've talked about before, I think it's really one of the best breakfasts in town.
It certainly is, yes. I've had it several times, and I can attest to that blueberry muffin.
Oh, giant head on that thing. Anyway, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, monasdanishbakery.com is the website. You can call ahead or order right on the website and stop by and pick up your bakery goods. We'll be right back with our Monday Political Face-Off, John Munger and Jeff Rogers, right after this.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is, speaking of Moe's Gallery, who is our title presenter for our Monday Political Face-Off. And we have Jeff Rogers here with me and John Munger, our team of commentators. Moe's Gallery, by the way, stop by, say hello to Mo and Corinne. They do such a great job. Their website, moesgallery.com, and they're over by right next door to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell and Dodge. John, you said during the break, you were telling Jeff and I that you watched the whole speech, the Donald Trump reemergence, kind of the first public event that he has held since he left office. What'd you think?
I thought he looked great. The speech was wonderful. People were very excited. Republicans,
very enthusiastic.
Very enthusiastic. everybody I've talked to are very excited. The Republican Party is doing great. He pointed out that in the last election, of course, we picked up all those House seats, we didn't lose a single legislative body in the whole country, in the states, and we had controlled most of them, majority of them. The Republican Party is doing great with the policies that Donald Trump has espoused, and people are excited about those policies. We're going to be able to see a real comparison between the Republican Party in the next 4 years, between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. And he pointed out a lot of the differences that we're already seeing with regard to immigration, jobs. The Republican Party has become the party of the working man. There's been recent statistics out that 12% that the Republican ranks have increased by 12% amongst blue-collar workers. The Democratic Party has decreased by 8%.
Wow, you're saying it sounds like a very bright picture.
It's a very bright picture for the Republican Party, and all these people that talk about how the Republican Party is in civil war don't understand the Republican
Party.
The Republican Party is doing great. Rights.
Let's hear what Jeff thinks about this. I see that the USA Today editorial writer David Mastino said that Trump is becoming a parody of himself, and his hold on the Republican Party is only going to weaken.
I think he's correct, and it's going to take a little while. But think about a couple of different things. First off, last week, just this weekend, a poll that was in the field last week showed that Joe Biden has a 56% approval rating. Trump never got near 50% the entire time he was president for 4 years. Now, think in terms of how embarrassing it is to be a Republican right now. In Pennsylvania, since January 6th, 20,000 people who were registered Republicans have changed their registration. It's not as bad in Arizona, but it's pretty bad. Some 5,000 to 6,000 people changed their registration.
They're
leaving the party. And so now when you do Republican-dominated polls, when you ask Republicans, you're getting a thinner slice of Republicans than before. I mean, you're basically getting Trumpsters and only Trumpsters when they're polling only Republicans, because self-identifying as a Republican is becoming more and more difficult for a lot of people to do. And what did I see at that CPAC convention?
I saw him doubling
down on all of the lies he continues to tell. And people, you know, are you telling me, John, that rational Republicans, two-thirds of them, still believe this election was stolen from
Absolutely.
Donald Trump?
Absolutely, we believe the part that it was stolen. And you guys,
that's not going to sell the voters, John.
It's the truth, whether it sells or not.
If you're telling me you're buying that lie too, then I'm disappointed to hear that.
That's classic Democrat position. If you don't agree with them, it's a lie.
Well, it is a lie.
It isn't a lie.
60 different court cases found that there was no fraud, no problem with the vote.
No, they didn't,
Jeff. And here's another lie he told. He said that in Detroit, more people voted than were on the voting rolls. That's a bald-faced lie. 250,000 people voted in Detroit, and there's over 500,000 people registered to vote in the county of Detroit. So, I mean, those are the kind of lies that Trump told all day long yesterday, or his hour and a half or 2 hours, however long he talked. He went on and on about that. And what you could distill from that is voter suppression is basically the name of the game for the Republican Party. They know that they can't win in the future unless they can keep the people who won't vote Republican from voting at all.
And now it's your turn, John.
Well, I sense a whole lot of fear on Jeff's part. The Republican Party is there. It's still there, and it's coming on stronger than ever. We are doing great. Picked up a lot of House seats against the Democrats. We're going to take control of the House in the next election.
What does the party stand for, then, John? What is the kind of the symbol of this party right now?
Well, Donald Trump laid it out. We stand for a whole bunch of things. Number one, control of the border. The border's going out of control right now with the Joe Biden. We have more caravans coming in just in the last couple weeks. The Democrats railed against Donald Trump for putting children in cages. But what are the Democrats are doing, which started with Obama, incidentally. And now the Democrats are putting more children in cages than were ever in cages under Donald Trump. So border is one big issue. Getting children back to school is another big issue. Strong national defense, fair trade deals. Deficit with China, the trade deficit with China has decreased 35% in the last 2 years.
And John,
did you know that?
You think all of these issues will certainly resonate with the voters in the midterm elections?
Absolutely. Putting people back to work. The Democratic Party and Joe Biden have been anti-jobs. They're going to make us dependent again on Saudi Arabia and Russia for oil. They're going to kill jobs in the oil industry, already are. I heard one guy on television today saying that he'd lost his pipeline job, and Joe Biden talks about other jobs available. The guy says there aren't any other jobs available where I don't have to take a 35% pay cut.
All right, now it's Jeff's turn.
Well, oil production was at record capacity when Obama left office, and it's remained that way. We are actually, oddly enough, the largest producer of oil in the world right now, It was that way under Obama. It continued that way under Trump, and it will continue that way under Biden. So I'm not the least bit concerned about that, and I'm not the least bit concerned about Canadians who lose their jobs because of the XL pipeline.
This wasn't an American.
And there are limited construction jobs will go to Americans, but that's it. That oil is destined for overseas. It's going to flow down to Louisiana and be shipped out for overseas use, and all to the profit of Canada, not America. And so I think we need to look at the states and the tribes and other places that oil pipeline is going to cross and see if they approve of it. If they don't approve of it, then it shouldn't be there. We shouldn't dictate to the states and to the tribes what should go through their land.
That pipeline was being built. It had been approved by everybody involved at that point. And now we're costing American jobs. We're now going to bring in workers from other countries to displace our low-skilled workers. We're going to Biden is in the process of bringing in low-skilled workers from other countries through his immigration open borders policy to compete with our low-skilled workers, put them out of work, and that's happening. Biden has taken a completely anti-woman position with regard to transgender sports. I have daughters. I have female grandchildren competing with boys and men in sports. That's unfair. That's ridiculous. And yet Biden is endorsing that. So he's going to destroy women's sports. So many things are happening that are anti-job, anti-women, anti-American. They don't put American success first. They put the success of the whole world in front of us. Rejoining the Paris Peace Accord, where we spend billions and billions of our dollars to subsidize other countries, while the Chinese, the India, and Russia are spewing out carbon emissions and not doing anything, and yet Biden wants us to spend money when our air is clearer and better than it's ever been, and our carbon emissions have been declining over the years.
Well, John, Jeff, it sounds like from what John's saying, President Biden is just is his worst enemy of what stuff.
Well, first off, it's the climate accord, not the peace accord. And the climate accord includes Russia and China.
And they're not performing.
They're signatories on that, and it includes India. Now, those are all countries that
probably
are polluting more than us, but they are all part and parcel of that climate agreement, and they are attempting to whereas we were not when Trump was president.
No, we already had a decline in our carbon emissions.
Yeah, and they've been going down. We're not going to bring people in to take jobs away from Americans. That's just not going to happen under the Biden administration. I mean, he's he's too ensconced with American labor movement to let any of that happen. And that's so it's just not going to happen, John.
Well, they're already
you're just
coming
making
in.
These things up. They're not already coming
they're,
in.
Jeff,
they're not coming
the
in.
The lowest
they're,
skilled
there
workers.
There are no provisions right now to allow anyone in. It has to basically be approved by Congress. It can't be done with an administrative order.
He's letting them into the country. They're going to they have to
no,
work,
he's not,
Jeff.
Tom.
Yes, he is. He's letting them into the country. He's got this open borders policy. You can't deny it.
No,
it's happening.
We
it's,
don't have an open borders
yes,
policy.
Yes, we do.
We
have
never
an
had an open borders policy. We didn't have it under Obama either. In fact, Obama was accused more often than not, and accurately so, of arresting more immigrants than any other president.
Yeah, but
that was true.
But the illegal workers are coming in to take
the
unskilled
was,
jobs from America. Just look at the numbers.
Time, right? He was focused upon the criminal element and getting people out of here who were dangerous, whereas the Trump administration was focused on separating children from their families.
The Biden administration is separating more children from parents than Trump ever did.
There you go. We've got two very, very different views of what is happening, and that's going to do it today for our Monday Political Face-Off. John, nice to see you. Thanks for coming
you.
In. And Jeff, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Check out the redesigned website. Looks really good at moesgallery.com. Midway point in the program, Buckmaster, on the first Monday of March. We'll be right back with General Wickham right after this.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Looking for some beautiful spring color to put into your garden? You know, March 1st kind of feels like, and I might be wrong about this, but I think the National Weather Service really considers March 1st as kind of the first day of spring. And I know officially it's not until a couple of weeks down the road, but whatever, now would be a great time to head to Green Things, wouldn't it? Get some great color for the garden, 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, in other words, they've got you covered. And they are open daily for you. Their website's greenthingsaz.com. Beautiful site over on River Road. The exact address, 3384 East River Road, in their 51st year and still growing. And of course, Zocalo Village, with all that great antiques and fine art available for you. Their website, ZocaloVillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to General John Wickham, retired four-star general. General Wickham served as the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 87, former Commander-in-Chief of the UN Command and Commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the 8th Army in Korea. He's the author of Korea on the Brink. He is also a man that the Army Times has named one of the 10 leaders who most changed the United States Army. General Wickham, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Bill, and wonderful to be on your very valuable program.
This thing with the in Afghanistan, a lot of people may not realize it, but the one-year deal, that agreement, General Wickham, was signed a year ago today, February 29th. Last year was a leap year. So basically a year ago today, and it's an agreement between the United States and Taliban that the United States forces will be pulling out in May of this year, 2020, but only if the Taliban keeps its promise of cutting ties with terrorist groups. And judging by what the Afghani leaders are saying, there's been a tremendous rise of violence. I don't see the U.S. troops leaving if this violence level continues. What are your thoughts?
I agree, Bill. I think it's a very dangerous place, Afghanistan. I've been over there when I was Army Chief of Staff, and so I think the fact that we do have some forces there is because the 9/11 attack came out of Afghanistan from terrorists, and so in a way we are obligated to have some presence there or some influence to be sure that Afghanistan does not become hostile to another terrorist organization. And the Middle East is filled with them. So,
yeah, and I think I will share with our listeners, just to give them some idea, General Wickham, about how deadly 2020 was in Afghanistan. More than 3,000 civilians were killed. Nearly 6,000 others were injured in Afghanistan. The bottom line, General Wickham, Afghanistan is still a mess.
You're right, Bill, and it's a mess. Its location is a strategic location. As you know, the Russians invaded Afghanistan years ago. It was their Vietnam, in a way, and they suffered mighty, mighty injuries and loss of life. And I've read books about the Russians, and I was involved in talking to Pakistani leaders about what was going on in Afghanistan. The solution to Afghanistan has got to be regional. We need to get the Indians, the Pakistani, the Russians, the Chinese, the British and the United States involved in trying to settle a situation. And we're not doing that. We haven't done a regional thing. We're trying to, growing out of our experience in Vietnam, we think we can solve the world problems. And just step aside, little Asian person, and we're going to show you how to do it. And look what happened in Vietnam. We didn't win the war there. So, and we've done the same sort of thing in Afghanistan. And we're not doing well there. We've not been in touch with them. I remember I visited Pakistan when I was Army Chief of Staff at the behest of the State Department to try to persuade the Pakistanis not to get into nuclear weapons. And guess what? Well, they did get into them, as we know now. So, and they're influential in the region. And we can't do these things on our own. We've got to do it on a regional basis. And I don't think our previous administration was involved in that, and I hope that the current administration will recognize the responsibility we have there.
Do you think this was sending a message, what happened over the weekend with the United States with a targeted airstrike along the Syrian-Iranian border? Was this to send a message that the Biden administration is serious about Iran?
I think so. That's a good, very good point, Bill. I don't think we sent a message on purpose, but I think that the fact that we did take military action illustrates to the regional nations there, particularly Iran and the Russians and the Chinese, that we are serious about getting some sort of stability in the region and that we're not going to tolerate military actions or insurrection by the Chinese or the Russians. So I think it was a good point. It was a very important step on our part.
We still have 30,000 American troops in South Korea, as you very well know. You know that area intimately. We've got 60,000 American military and civilians stationed in Japan. Are we going to have to change tactics here with cyber warfare? Or do we still need a large land-based group like we have in Japan and Korea, General Wickham?
Good, very good point, Bill. Cyber warfare is one of the serious challenges that faces the United States and other countries. If we don't invest enough in protecting our cyberspace, the industry is not doing it enough, and the government is not doing enough. And just imagine what cyber activity would do to our aviation industry or to our banking industry if the cyber people got involved. We did do some of this
And look what happened just with Texas. Actually, the Texas grid, the electrical grid, was only minutes away from totally failing. You don't think that our adversaries are watching that with a lot of interest, General Wickham? They are.
Oh, yeah. Exactly, Bill. They are. And they're well aware of it. And so, and as you may know, back in decades ago, the United States and Israel were involved with cyber activity against an Iranian nuclear weapons site. Not weapons site, but commercial industrial site. And we interrupted their nuclear power with it. And that actually could have led to an explosion, which would have put up a wave of radioactive material that would last for a decade or 100 years or more in the Middle East. So we've been involved in that activity with Israel and other nations. So you're right, it is a vulnerability, and we don't do enough at all there. And would it impact on the need for large military forces? Yes, it would in a way, because it's a whole new area of military activity that could be devastating in terms of industrial output and devastating to society. So we don't do enough, as I mentioned, with research or investment. We need to do much more.
All right, General Wickham, always a pleasure. How are you doing? You sound great for 92 years old.
Well, actually goes back to my wounding in Vietnam, my first tour. You know, I spent three tours in Vietnam, and first tour was so severely wounded that I was given the last rice, that he couldn't save me. But I did survive because the good Lord had more for me to do. And I think that's something we all as Christians come to realize in our lives, that things go on and we didn't expect this to happen or that to happen. It's because there is a plan for each one of us in the good in the world. And the good Lord is looking out for us. We're never alone. So theoretically, what's going on now, well, look at our own nation, the difficulties we've had with the previous administration in our country. And as the good Lord has changed things for the benefit of America. And I think the future is looking, in my humble opinion, much, much brighter with the current administration.
All right.
There are some difficulties, but we'll get over them.
All right, General Wickham, always a pleasure. Thank you for your service, not only to my show, but of course to our country. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bill. Well, your show is very, very valuable in informing residents of Arizona and the region here that the world is something we've got to pay attention to.
That's for sure. General John Wickham, always a pleasure on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, the Mexico Report with Keith Rosenblum right after this.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Some good news for you on this March 1st. New Mexico's doing a slow rollout, opening up tourism again to out-of-state visitors, dropping its mandatory 14-day quarantine for out-of-state visitors. What all of this means is now you can really start doing some serious planning for Silver City, and Grant County, our great sponsor. Go to their website, visit southwestnewmexico.org, and look at what they have to offer. And hey, just in time for spring, head over to that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, that mile-high elevation, about 5,000 to 6,000 feet. Great time of year coming up to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and some great places to stay. Again, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Keith Rosenblum, longtime border reporter and one of our great contributors to the Buckmaster Show. Keith does the Mexico Report for us on the first Monday of the month, and we'll also call upon him as needed throughout the month. Keith, how are you?
Bill, while you're tantalizing me with the visions of New Mexico, I'm actually sipping a birria on the streets of Nogales, Mexico, which is second best. But wow. I just have to resign myself to it.
I can't believe how good your cell phone reception is being in another country and with us on the Buckmaster Show. Good deal. We have news today. The president of Mexico and Joe Biden are meeting, I think, for the first time, not in person, but like everything else right now, virtually. That's going to be going on. I don't know if they met already, but it's supposed to happen today, Keith.
My understanding is that meeting is now, right? Sometime
right now.
Midday today.
Yep.
Yes. Now, I was not invited, as you might have guessed.
Yeah.
But this was not Lopez Obrador's favorite. He was hoping for a Trump victory. I was saying that Lopez Obrador is talking with his second choice. That is that he was banking on Trump winning a second term. And so this is actually a second best for him.
Second best, but he is going to obviously have to work with the Biden administration, and so much so that I understand he's going to ask for some vaccine from the United States.
You know, I remember years ago watching a comedy. They were saying there was a weatherman. You could just hear the voice of the weatherman. He was saying, folks, there's absolutely nothing to worry about. And then the camera would pan to the TV set, and you saw the weatherman was dressed in a wetsuit. And I have that feeling about Mexico. Lopez Obrador tells the people everything is going great. But I was reading in The Guardian that if you go to the Reuters, the rate that Mexico is vaccinating people right now, it would take roughly 10 years to complete the cycle. So as much as the official Mexican version is everything's going well and there's nothing to be concerned with, evidently, they vaccinated something in the order of 150,000 people so far.
And who are those people? Are they?
And those people still have to go back. So not a very optimistic scenario.
What are they doing? Do they have a system like we have, some kind of a priority system? Who's getting the shots?
Yeah, well, right now it looks like everybody is secondary or tertiary, and there's no priority. But there is a combination public health and military system. One of the things that you have to give Mexico a little bit of slack is that it's still largely a huge agrarian population. Yet states is dominant metropolitan. I forget what number of our people live in cities. It still has a huge population that lives in cities or towns under 5,000 people. But that doesn't justify a lack of vaccines in a Mexico City or a Monterey or even a Nogales.
What's going on as far as the COVID? Has the COVID caseload leveled off like it has here in the United States in Mexico?
I read the numbers, and the numbers are proportionally, they're still higher than the U.S. And, you know, the U.S. in a lot of the views of public health people worldwide, the U.S. is a pretty poor performer. And so for Mexico to be even the number of people who have been affected, the number of deaths per people who have been affected, the mortality rate, And then now the vaccination rate. Mexico has shown that she still is first world in a lot of areas and third world in many more. And when it comes to government, you can see why there's an inherent untrust. I was reading also that when Lopez Obrador returned on a flight, he takes commercial flights. He got rid of their equivalent of Air Force One, and he was jeered on his flight from Guadalajara to Mexico City on his commercial flight. And these are hard times. What you have is a president who really does present the facade that everything is going great, but never has there been a president more with his own people. The fact is that what he has is a majority of an illiterate, a somewhat illiterate country at his back. But the intelligentsia and the a lot of the business community is really almost in a daily battle with him. And he supposedly has a formation of mandate coming up in a couple of months, and that's it's on the ballot. You know, the Mexican presidents are elected for 6 years, and for the first time, Lopez Obrador said, after 3 years. Anyway, there's going to be another referendum to decide whether to keep him as president or not.
You mentioned his plane. Isn't it true that the auction didn't go well and no one has really been able
to
purchase?
They still have the plane.
There you go.
The plane is still sitting. And the explanation they've given so far is that the configuration of the aircraft makes it unattractive to everybody else in the world. But it was designed for Enrique Peña Nieto, the previous president. And they have not, which seems to me to be a bogus explanation. In the meantime, it accrues all sorts of interest rates and all sorts of, this is at every turn, Lopez Obrador comes into conflict with his own people and with his own policy. And yet, he still has a support of the majority.
Wow. All right, Keith, what are you, at a sidewalk cafe right now?
Well, I'm sipping birria.
Oh.
So I'm sorry if I called you from a bad spot. Next time I'll go to a higher area
to
touch base with you.
Yeah, you're kind of cutting in and out, so we're going to let you go. But thank you very much, Keith. Always a pleasure.
Okay, my pleasure, Bill. Next time I'll find higher ground.
There you go. Higher ground for Keith Rosenblum. Thank you, Keith.
Not moral ground. Physical ground.
There you go. Thanks, Keith. One of our contributors, we have 24 contributors, very proud of this group of people who are regular contributors to the Buckmaster Show, and we're in our 11th year here on the radio. On 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk, and we've got great lineup of folks coming up for you tomorrow. Tomorrow we've got one of our contributors, our Washington contributor, Terry Bracey, will be joining us from the nation's capital. Then we'll have Shelley Fishman with our Tuesday Money Maker Report. We're going to have the Oral Valley mayor is going to be joining us to find out how the town of Oro Valley has survived these COVID times over the past 12 months. Also want to ask him about whatever happened with the annexation plans for the Westward Look Resort. Then we got Sean Daniels of the Arizona Theater Company. Interesting that live theater is back in a part of the world, Australia. They are allowing audiences, this is a front page story in the New York Times yesterday, folks are back and they're doing live theater in Australia. Everybody's wearing a mask, but the performers are not wearing masks, but the audience members are. So maybe that bodes well for getting live theater back for the Arizona Theater Company. We'll ask Sean about that. Anyway, Bill Buckmaster with you on this first day of March. Thanks to John Couch, engineering and producing. Dave Ramsey, his popular program on money, is next. Have a great afternoon.